You are now at the parking area of stop 3 on the Worthington Farm. Go to the front of the house, the side with the long porch, and stand or sit with the house behind you. If you look slightly to your left, you might be able to see a portion of the best house and the visitor center in the distance. Interstate 270 is just beyond the trees in front of you. This area would have been farm fields in 1864. At roughly 10:30 a.m., while there was an attempt to turn Davis's right flank at the junction, Confederate General John McCausland attempted to cross the ford, located to your left and west about a half mile. A company of 8th Illinois cavalrymen were ordered to guard the ford, but were outnumbered and easily forced to fall back to the Union lines. McCausland's cavalry brigade rode up to the Worthington House, where you are now standing. Except for the officers, every man dismounted and formed two lines of battle. Corporal Alexandria St. Clair wrote about this. As a rule, when the cavalry dismount to fight, every fourth man is detailed to take charge of the horses, to hold or move them as the exigencies of the battle may require. On this occasion, when we reached the brick house, every man was ordered to dismount, tie his horse to the fence, or turn him loose. No one could be spared to hold the horses. We fully realized this meant serious work, as this command had never before been given us. McCausland's reports led him to believe that he would oppose only 100 daysmen, so he did not expect to encounter any stiff resistance and ordered his brigade to move across the field. Wallace observed the Confederates' movement and described it in his memoirs years later. He wrote, "Then at a signal, the array having attained its proper front, it started forward slowly at first. Suddenly, arms were shifted, and taking to the double quick, the men raised their battle cry, which, sounding across the field an intervening distance, rose to me on the heights, and more like the composite yelping of wolves. And when to these were presently superadded a tempestuous tossing of guidons, waving of banners, and furious trampling of the young corn that flew before them, the demonstration was more than exciting. It was really fearful. A brave spectacle it was indeed." The engagement at the ford alerted Union forces that the Confederates were crossing the Monocacy River. To counter this movement, orders were given to the 1st Brigade to establish a battle line on the Thomas Farm. This line would have been on the other side of the interstate in front of you. It consisted of four regiments that had taken up a kneeling position behind a fence with the cornfield to their front. Due to a severe drought that year, the corn had only grown about waist high. Concealed from view, the Union soldiers waited until the Confederates were within 125 yards. Union General James Ricketts gave the order to open fire, and volley after volley was hurled into the Confederate ranks, causing severe losses. This ambush caused the Confederates to fall back over the field in front of you and regroup behind the house. John Worthington, who observed this attack from the upstairs window of his house, stated that he could not understand why the Confederates went forward as if on parade. Miss Worthington, the children, and slaves took cover in the cellar during the battle. Young Glenn, who was only 6 at the time, would grow up to champion efforts to preserve the battlefield and wrote Fighting for Time, the first book-length account of the Battle of Monocacy. Now make your way to stop 4. Return back down the gravel road to the stop sign and turn left. The next left that you come to will be the parking area for stop 4.